Downgrade for the Skins, net, net, you add up everything. And right now, where do the Skins rank in the NFL?
The Redskins are the worst rated team. They're last, RJ, in the NFL.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Redskins 28-13 on Monday night. Philly is now a game out of first in the NFC East. RJ, what does Vegas make of Monday night's performance?
Well, I tell you this, we lost, right? That's what this Vegas guy makes of it. We had the Skins. So, Fez, are we going to say, oh, if Colt McCoy didn't get hurt, we would have won? Do you feel like after the first quarter, before he got hurt, that we were in good shape?
No, I was already worried, frankly.
All right, at least he's admitting it. That's the first step. Kudos. Boy, though, the market adjustment. And sometimes we have to speculate, right? We're very well suited to do that. Hey, what does Vegas think of this or that? But when there is a market on a team, and that market already was up, Washington versus the Giants next week. That line was bettable Monday before the Monday night game. And if you would have bet that, Fez, what was the line?
Washington was favored by 1.5 points.
So favored at home. Even with Colt McCoy, though, less than the typical home field advantage of 3, saying the Giants were the better team, Washington favored. Now, Colt McCoy out and Mark Sanchez in. Now, that makes no bettors happy, that phrase, I don't think. Unless you bet against them, I guess, historically. What's the current line?
Washington is now the underdog. They are +3.5 hosting the Giants.
So just do the simple math, a 5-point adjustment. So I think that's fair to say is a combination of the drop from Colt McCoy to Sanchez. And also, the O-line for the Skins has been one of the truly decimated units in the NFL. And we talk about it. Cluster injuries. What does that mean? More than one injury in the same position group, and it has a compounding effect. Think about if you lose your left tackle. Maybe it's one of the better left tackles in the entire NFL. But you can work around it. Put the tight end over there a little bit, third or more often. Third and one, maybe you run to the right. All kind of little, it still hurts you. But now imagine your left tackle and your right tackle is out. Now it gets harder to compensate. So with one injury, you can compensate as an NFL team. Multiple injuries, it's hard to compensate. The Skins had as many injuries to the O-line as any team to any position group, I would say. And then what happened during the game?
What happened is that both of their backup guards who are replacing their starting guards who are out for the year, both their backup guards get carted off the field. They go out. One of them's out for the year. The backup guard, the other guy, we're waiting to hear. So now they're down to their third string guards, both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Okay, so you add it up. It's a combination of the Colt McCoy and then downgrade to Sanchez and then the O-line for the Skins, even more injured, even a more compounding effect, a 5-point adjustment. By the way, Colt McCoy. As a Steelers fan, I was pretty familiar with him on the Browns. I was always happy when he was in the game. But I can tell you this, and I'm a believer that if you listen closely to the coaches, they sometimes tell you the truth, even if they don't want to. And I think what we saw from Jay Gruden was they had some real optimism that Colt McCoy was going to be a surprise. The idea that he was better in this system with the time they had had to develop him than people would expect. And the sense I got was crushing disappointment. Because you would think Alex Smith, you pay all that money, going to the backup would be crushing. But it felt like that was one they took in stride, the Skins, Jay Gruden. But then going, and not so much even about Sanchez, he's new. Right? Obviously, he was out of the league for a reason, and he's new. But boy, from what I saw in the comments after, Jay Gruden was more crushed about losing McCoy, which tells me, one, they had some real optimism, more than we might have thought for McCoy, the Skins, and two, they don't have near that optimism with Sanchez.
Yeah, and Sanchez, there's a reason he's essentially hasn't played for now 3 years, just off the couch, has only been signed for 2 weeks. Redskins are in a lot of trouble.
No doubt. And let's talk about that five-point adjustment. So downgrade for the Skins, net-net, you add up everything. And right now, where do the Skins rank in the NFL?
The Redskins are the worst-rated team. They're last, RJ, in the NFL.
Last. So the Raiders would be favored over the Redskins on a neutral field.
Yes.
Well, let me say that again. If you're in Washington, don't be upset. We're just telling you the truth, the Vegas truth. Redskins, worst team in the NFL right now. That's what Vegas says. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Let's look at Philadelphia. You upgraded them a half a point, just a smidge. What's driving the upgrade?
What's driving it is optimism for Philly. The fact that, hey, we're 6-6. We're a game out of first. I feel that the team is still playing hard, thinking they can win the division.
Okay, so it's not so much what you saw on the field. It was the result and what it means to the motivation of the Eagles now still being clearly competitive to win the NFC East.
Correct.
And your power ratings take into account how good the team is, injuries, and also their mental state. So it makes a ton of sense. But what it's telling me is, even though Philadelphia covered the spread, you weren't impressed with what you saw on the field. And I think I agree with you, because the D-backs, we talked about cluster injuries for the Skins. I think the cluster injuries for the Eagles with their defensive backs, almost as bad, if not as bad, entering the game. And really, with McCoy only playing that limited time, and then Sanchez, that main weakness, that vulnerability with the Eagles really wasn't tested by the Redskins yesterday.
Exactly right. Their cornerback deficiency was masked by the fact that Mark Sanchez couldn't take advantage of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ohio State head football coach Urban Meyer is retiring after the Rose Bowl against Washington coming up on January 1st. He made the announcement earlier today. Offensive coordinator Ryan Day will become the Buckeyes' new head coach after Meyer steps away. Ryan Day has already agreed to a five-year contract in Columbus.
All right, so Brad, I think we're going to disagree on this one. Let's start. What is the effect? We're always looking for what we can bet. What is the effect in the Rose Bowl?
I think it's a positive effect for Ohio State. If you're questioning Ohio State's motivation, they got left out of the playoffs. Even though it's a Rose Bowl, I think this focuses all those players that were recruited by Urban Meyer to really give 100% effort in his final game as a head coach.
Okay, I disagree. So first, let's be clear. What did the market do? We have a market on this. How did the market react?
Yesterday, Ohio State, a five-point favorite. After the news broke this morning with Urban Meyer that being the last game, Ohio State now a six-point favorite, one-point upgrade.
Wrong. Now, here's why. One, what do you think is the general enthusiasm minus the Urban Meyer situation for the Rose Bowl?
I think it's average.
Okay, because let's be candid. A lot of players... And 20-year-old alpha males typically aren't the type that's got a lot of perspective. They're like, hey, we won with one loss, the Big Ten. We should be in this thing, right?
Yep.
So it strikes me that it's not some bowl on the 27th of December, but average is probably fair. So right there, that's not good. Average motivation is really saying less than normal motivate. I mean, I think average, I wouldn't say half. So you're going to say by average half the teams are going to be more motivated than them in all the bowls and half won't? I don't think there's 50% of teams less motivated than Ohio State's going to be. Forgetting Meyer for a second. Do you?
Yeah, I would say above average motivation.
Ooh,
if you break it,
I think below average. All right, so we disagree on that. Chocolate and vanilla, that's fine. I really disagree adamantly about these young players. The seniors, I think it's fine. Last year, if they're going out in the draft, hey, we're going, Urban's going, let's go, let's finish the job. But why did those players that aren't leaving next year mostly come to Ohio State?
Urban Meyer.
And where's Urban Meyer next year?
Not at Ohio State.
To me, if I'm a player... And let's be honest, Urban, I mean, if you, and I know you know, you've done media before around the colleges, like at a deep level, it's a salesman's job. You walk in there and you commit to the parents, I'm going to take your son by the hand and we're going to go and we're going to win some games. We're going to get him a great degree and we're going to make his future together. And now he's leaving? Have you ever had a girlfriend leave you?
Yep.
Did you? Were you happy? Were you saying, hey, let's have one last date and I'm going to make it the best date of your life?
No.
So what's different?
The circumstances. Urban's
no, the circumstances are the same. Urban's leaving by choice.
Oh, he's just leaving because of health reasons.
Just like your exes.
He's not leaving for someone
Oh, you think anyone
else.
Believes that?
Yeah, leaving for someone else? He's not. He's leaving to retire.
Well, that's an interesting point. You don't think they're thinking he might go to the Browns?
He's not going anywhere.
Oh, so you got inside info.
He's not going anywhere next year.
Oh, okay. I can promise you those kids are going to feel left at the altar. And because their job's not done. I'm not saying there isn't going to be both of these phenomenons. I'm saying the idea, let's bring our wonderful, beloved coach out with a win. I don't think that's what exactly we're going to see.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Let's talk about the Heisman, because it was pretty much the entire year. How big of a favorite is Tua? It's like, oh, he's this, he's that, he's historic. So let's talk about it. At the high point, at the best odds, or the biggest favorite that Tua was to win the Heisman, was what and at what point?
Just 3 weeks ago, RJ, Tua, put this in perspective, to win $1 for Tua to win the Heisman, you had to bet $10, so minus 1,000. Bet 10 to
so,
win
so let
one.
Me think about this. $50 would have won me a Subway footlong.
Yes.
Okay. So about 90% chance.
Yep.
Now what is it today?
Now Tua has a 40% chance of winning the Heisman.
So is he the favorite still?
No, he's not. Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma, now the clear-cut favorite, minus 160. That basically means Kyler Murray, a 60% chance to win it. It's between two guys.
Now listen, I'm not much for conspiracy theories. But it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what have we seen in the last... If you had to describe... Would this be... And Jonas, jump in here if you want. Would this be a fair description of what we've seen from Tua and the Oklahoma quarterback Murray in the last 3 weeks?
I think.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Is this a fair description?
All right.
That's elliptical. Now I'm going to say it. You got something to say, Brad. Yeah, you want to jump in?
No, say it.
All right. So here's my question. Is this fair to say? Is that Tua played really well, but looked human, but still played really well? And the Oklahoma quarterback continued to play well, not much better than he played the whole year. So maybe you could say the Oklahoma quarterback played 5 or 10% better than he had earlier in the year. And maybe you could say that Tua played 10, 15% worse. Could you be more drastic than that, Brett?
No, I think that's a fair assessment with what
So happened. How do you go from 90% to not even being the favorite with Tua? From that description of what we just explained has happened in 3 weeks.
I think the true mispricing was the 90% 3 weeks ago was unfair to Kyler Murray's season being overlooked at Oklahoma. That's where the mispricing was.
But then the idea, like whatever led to that mispricing would still be the case. It wouldn't change just because Tua had a game or two that he was not Superman.
What hurt Tua more than anything, had his worst game of the season, the whole world watching the SEC championship game, and then to have the backup come in and outperform Tua.
But no one thinks that the backup's better than Tua.
No, I don't.
I mean, it just shows you how fickle these markets are.
Can I get the conspiracy music, please, again?
I'd like. Oh, yeah, I don't like it, but yes.
A DJ Bell, I'd like the conspiracy music. What about this? 10% of the Heisman votes were already put in before last week's game. So 10% of the voters had already cast their votes before last week's game. And then you see this drastic of a turn in the odds. What if somebody got a sneak peek?
Exactly.
If they got a sneak peek at the votes beforehand.
Boy, Jonas, you're learning,
baby.
Damn
straight.
That was going to be my point. This feels like some type of inside information. And we've got no knowledge on that. Let's make that clear. But it doesn't feel like the evidence. Let me ask you, Brad. If I would have said 3 weeks ago, let's say you didn't check the odds on the Heisman since 3 weeks ago. You saw it at minus 1,000. If I would have said, Brad, what do you? Let's say you have no other knowledge. Today I said, what do you think the Heisman odds are? What would you have said?
Tua's got a 65% chance to win it.
So you think it would have got down to minus 200?
Yeah.
I would have been way higher. I would have said
like minus 600, 400. Yeah. So it strikes me that something has happened. And that's the thing. Guys might think, well, let's say one person knew something. Just one, let's say. And he knows a cousin, an uncle, that might not even be a huge bettor himself, but he knows huge bettors. This is like a virus. Typhoid Mary to one person. And if there's anything, Fez, we can agree with bettors, they love to do favors for other bettors that are bigger than them because they figure those favors get reciprocated. You go to a guy like Fezzik with inside information, or not necessarily illegal inside info, but you've got some insight. If you value it, you're going to return it in spades to them because you want them to keep coming to you with it, right?
Absolutely. Updated weather report, 40-mile-an-hour winds. I'll send it over to Brad.
And to me, it strikes me, and I'm not saying this is a sure thing the other way, because even with 10%, we wouldn't know for sure what's happening, but it feels like somebody knows something. Or the Heisman odds from Tua going from 90% 3 weeks ago to win to less than 50% now make no sense. Otherwise,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.